Venezuelans went to the polls yesterday in important regional elections that will undoubtedly reshape the political future of the country. With 22 of its 23 state governorships, 328 mayoral races, and 233 regional legislative seats decided by Sunday's vote, the opposition to President Hugo Chavez sought to make major political advances. The elections are a test of the newly formed Venezuelan United Socialist Party in the first vote since Chavez lost a referendum in 2006. Though final official results have not yet been released, yesterday's state and local elections boasted a record turnout of 65% of all eligible voters. Initial reports from the National Electoral Council show pro-Chavez candidates leading in 17 out of the 22 gubernatorial races. The anti-Chavez opposition, departing from their 2004 protest abstention from the regional elections, focused their critiques not so much on Chavez's personality, as they've done in the past, but on issues such as inflation and crime. Though they failed to make a significant dent in Chavez's political influence, opposition candidates claimed some relative victories in taking the mayoral race in Caracas and two governor seats in populous states. With declining oil prices and the dismal state of the world economy, the election results will certainly factor in what will be a decisive year for the road to 21st century socialism in Venezuela. Miguel Tinker Salas is my guest. He's a professor of Chicano and Latin American Studies at Pomona College. He joins us on the phone this morning. Welcome to Uprising, Professor Tinker Salas.
Good morning. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. So, as I said, these are important elections that took place just yesterday. Your initial reaction on the results, were you surprised that the pro-Chavez governors and mayors had quite a bit of success?
I think the great surprise is that in many ways this was made into a referendum on the Hugo Chavez presidency, and to that extent the opposition was not successful, but they were successful in making tremendous inroads. They now have five governorships. The other two governorships that were still contested last night have been now pushed into their side, so that the opposition now controls the two largest cities in Venezuela, Maracaibo and Caracas. They control the three most populous states, Miranda, Carabobo, and Zulia. So in that sense, they have made important strides or important advances. But I think it also is a test of the fact that in Venezuela, people are accustomed now to a democratic process. They can test the political strength. And it's also a strength of the actual population of the rank and file, who sent a clear message to Chavez that they would support him in areas where they have seen success, but they would not, for example, in Miranda, where Diosdado Cabello, the governor, was known to have been corrupt, to traffic in influences. They did not support him there. And they would not support Juan Barreto, who was then the mayor of Caracas, and therefore they defeated his candidate for mayor of Caracas.
So the thing that you just mentioned in terms of corrupt leaders and corrupt folks that have been appointed, what is Chavez's position on this? And do you think that this will send a message to him that he needs to really remain accountable to his constituency?
I think it does. I think it's a rank and file message sent to the PSUV. If you've read heard what the people who voted said, for example, they lost the largest inner neighborhood in Caracas, the largest slum in Caracas, Petare, which had been a bastion of Chavista support. I think it's a clear message to them that they need to pay attention to the local concerns, which are crime, corruption, which are employment, and those are central. And particularly if they plan to lay the groundwork for elections next year, in which Chavez will try to revisit the constitutional reforms or that might allow him to be reelected again.
What about in Caracas? Mentioned that mayoral race in Caracas was won by the opposition. And what does that mean for the Chavez government in Caracas?
I think it means is that the current mayor, Juan Barreto, had done a very poor job. There were fights about picking up trash. There was issues of crime, of corruption. This is a mayor who attempted to have crime supervised by putting up blimps with cameras. And in 3 days before the election, he was in Paris on vacation. I think it's a referendum on the individual candidates. Chavez maintains his popularity, but it's also a clear message that these aren't simply followers of a charismatic leader. They have their own agendas. They work in social movements, and they will support only those candidates which they think have done done something right for the population. So it's a clear message in that sense, and I think that it's an important message for the Chavista and for the PSUV, which attempted to do primaries to select their candidates this time, and there was still some level of influence by top political leaders, and I think that that's the clear message here, is that they have to relate back to the social movements, they have to relate back to the popular struggles in selecting their candidates.
And the PSUV is the Venezuelan United Socialist Party.
So this was a test of the PSUV. It's the first time that the PSUV presents candidates. They went through a very historic moment back in June when they did primaries. They were the first party in Venezuela to actually have open primaries. But even within those, there was sort of a parachuting in of national leaders that had popular followings but weren't coming out of those states. For example, Carabobo is one clear example where Mario Silva, although a popular broadcaster, was not really a part of the social movements in Carabobo, and he was defeated. In Táchira, there was a very bloody primary in which three candidates for the PSUV fought for contention, and those wounds were never healed. In Zulia, which we had was a bastion of the opposition, we saw Rosales and the UNT, which was the opposition party, victorious again. So those are important messages for both the opposition as well as for the Chavistas. And for the opposition, now they have to govern. Now the problems of Caracas are theirs, and those are going to be important tests in the future.
So let's talk about the opposition and how it has evolved since the infamous coup that that toppled Chavez but then was overturned a few years ago, and how, you know, whether they are sort of a homogeneous faction or they are splinters within the opposition.
For this election, not only was it a test of the PSUV, but it was a test of the unity for the opposition. By the summer, they had more or less developed a consensus in close to 90% of the elected positions, so that they had put aside their differences, which were critical in the past. But now we're going to see the traditional leadership, for example, of Mr. Rosales passed up, because we have now Antonio Ledezma as mayor of Caracas. We have Mr. Radonsky Capriles as governor of Miranda. We're going to have other individuals, Perez in Zulia. So in many ways, the old traditional leadership will be opaque, and these new individuals will now be contesting for actual power and with view towards the presidency in 2012. So I think that one thing was their unity in this context. Now we'll have to see how they're able to carry that forward into the 2012 election or beyond.
Let's talk about crime being such an important issue and really having affected the outcome of these elections that took place yesterday. I mean, the Chavez government has done some tremendous and important work on redistributing wealth, but his vision of socialism, and for that matter, many folks' vision of socialism, doesn't account for what to do about crime and doesn't always have a solution that may work in practice. What, you know, to what, first of all, do you attribute the increase in crime to, and what has Chavez said he is going to do about it?
As an oil-producing country, Venezuela is a society of tremendous inequality. You have neighborhoods that look like they were right straight out of Beverly Hills or Brentwood in Los Angeles, alongside neighborhoods that are the worst favelas or some of the worst favelas. And yes, the social mission programs have brought some sense of relief to those people, and although inequality has decreased, crime remains a constant issue in that kind of polarized society. It represents a major challenge, because the opposition would like the government to repress the poor neighborhoods, so that's not the answer. The answer is to try to find some other mechanisms, some other ways, and those remain challenges not only for Chavez, but throughout most of the third world where these kind of contradictions exist. In the past, it has not hurt the Chavez administration, but in this election, I think not only crime, but inflation. Inflation is running 35% to 40% in Venezuela. And some of those crises are also created by the opposition. We've seen in the past elections hoarding of goods. We saw mayors, for example, ensuring the trash was not picked up to create a condition of chaos. So many of the conditions are also exacerbated by the political process. But the reality is that there are major issues that need to be addressed. Crime, there's a question of inflation, and with the declining price of oil, there's going to be some cutbacks in terms of budgets.
My guest is Miguel Tinker Salas, a professor of Chicano and Latin American Studies at Pomona College, and we're talking about the elections that took place, regional elections in Venezuela, where although the opposition did make a small dent, still pro-Chavez candidates have won the majority of races so far. There have been some significant changes, however. Now, you mentioned earlier that Chavez may try to revisit his attempt at constitutional reform again in 2006. He narrowly lost the referendum that would have, among other things, extended his term limits. Of course, the term limits aspect is something the U.S. media likes to focus a lot on. But what are the plans, you think, for Chavez next year in trying to bring these up? And would he stand a better or worse chance now?
I think this was the test of that. They were also testing candidates. They were testing some leadership within the PSUV to see what kind of mass following they had. So we saw that throughout the elections, PSUV leaders were being challenged for governors and for mayors. Some did well, some did poorly. So I think that in the context of a re-election for Chavez, I think we will visit it next year. There is a threat on the part of the opposition to have a referendum to recall Chavez, and Chavez's threat for the opposition has been that he will revisit the constitutional reforms that would allow him to be re-elected. I think the lesson from last year for Chavez is that the constitutional reforms were too complicated, included too much of issues. Had he limited them simply to questions of the six-hour workday, benefits and salaries, and maybe the reform for his own re-election, he might have won. So I think we'll see a revisiting. In fact, we may see it joined together. Chavez has threatened to actually do something called the twin in Venezuela, La Morocha, which would be to actually put on the election referendum a recall and or a re-election and actually set somewhat of a brinksmanship in that context.
Now, let's talk about the larger context, like particularly economic context, which you did allude to earlier, but let's get into that a little bit more in detail because, of course, Venezuela is an oil-producing country and it's one of the wealthiest nations in Latin America because of that. And Chavez has derived a lot of his power from being able to control a vast natural wealth in the form of the oil, but oil prices are falling dramatically on the global market. What do you think that means for Chavez's political future?
Well, I would like to recall that when Chavez came into power, the price of oil was about $10 a barrel. So that the movement in Venezuela itself is not simply tied to the price of oil, but in fact it speaks to the social inequality within the country. The government actually does not predicate its budget on the inflated price of oil. It predicated it usually between $35 to $45, so that they had already built in somewhat of a restriction and weren't simply relying on the higher price of oil. Second, that they had removed much of their currencies and their reserves from U.S. banks and placed it in other currencies and placed it in other banks so that they weren't as hit as hard by this crisis as other countries have been. And third, I think that in many ways what it will restrict, though, is his international policies, his more gregarious policies regarding foreign aid to other countries, buying up debt. So I think we'll see a restriction on that. But I think we'll see a continuation of the social missions within Venezuela where possible, particularly in relationships to education, food subsidies, transportation, and those that really matter to the Venezuelan population. So there may be an inward redirection as opposed to some of the more bold international initiatives.
What would he do domestically on the issue of inflation, which was another issue that the opposition ran their campaign on, how would Chavez, the socialist, approach inflation?
Well, I think that what we've seen is that an effort to try to buffer the population from the higher effects of inflation with the Mercal program, which provides foods products, basic food products to the population at important subsidies. We've seen an effort to at least prevent that inflation from having an impact on the population. There is also currency controls so that you don't have the speculation on currencies, and there's an effort to then to try to mitigate some of the more dramatic problems with it. But inflation has been a constant in Venezuela as an oil-producing country that has to import a majority of its food, although there's been an emphasis recently on trying to sustain more development agriculture, more autonomous development. The reality is that still has a long way to go.
There's also internally, in terms of the internal politics and within Chavez's constituency, I understand a bit of a split between two of the major parties, the United Socialist Party of Venezuela, which we've been talking about, Chavez's party, and the Communist Party of Venezuela, who ran separate candidates in some cases. What is the split attributed to, and where do you think it could be going in terms of the country's political socialist future?
Back in 1998, when the Chavista movement first began, the Movimiento Quinta Republica, the Fifth Republic movement, they created a polo patriótico, a patriotic pole, which attempted to bring all these parties together. The issue became, however, when the PSUV, the Socialist Party of Venezuela, was founded, that in many ways it was seen as a project that was replacing many of the old socialist or communist parties. Not only the Communist Party, but also PPT, Patria para Todos, Country for All. Mm-hmm. So that what they have to revisit in this context is how to recreate that alliance, how to incorporate those different sectors dissenters so that they actually unite forces as opposed to dividing them. We saw, however, that the dissidents, that is those who were PCV or PPT, in fact did not fare very well without the larger PSUV alliance. In every case where they ran a separate candidate against the PSUV, they lost and lost badly. Their one chance was in the state of Guárico, where the daughter of the current governor for the PPT actually had an opportunity, and she was soundly defeated. So I think that for both sides, for both the PCV, the Communist Party of Venezuela, the Patria para Todos, and others, and for the PSUV, we're going to see a revisiting of what that alliance, that patriotic alliance, might look like in 2009.
Finally, Professor Tinker Salas, so where do you see Venezuela heading next in relation to the United States? I mean, if you look at media coverage, which has very strongly characterized Chavez's government in certain tones and takes a very biased approach to it, the U.S. and Venezuela have been pitted against each other, and particularly under the Bush regime. But now with an Obama presidency here in the United States, what do you foresee for U.S.-Venezuela Obama-Chavez relations?
Well, I think it opens the opportunity for a new discourse. It opens the opportunity for a new discussion. But I think it also challenges the media, because this election puts to rest all the discussion that the media, the commercial media, had in terms of there's no opposition in Venezuela, there's a dictatorship, they won't recognize the results. That should open up an opportunity. The fact that these results were accepted quickly by the government, but also creates a space. I think that with the new administration, there's an opportunity to try to engage the issues based on equality, based upon respect for sovereignty, not premised on the previous policy, which was a bellicose policy, sending the Fourth Fleet off the coast of Venezuela, and the aggression. And the government of Venezuela has indicated willingness, and we hope that the government in the U.S. will indicate the same willingness to reengage on creating bilateral relations on basis on equality.
Well, that remains to be seen then. Miguel Tinker Salas, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Miguel Tinker Salas is a professor of Chicano and Latin American Studies at Pomona College, joining us to talk about yesterday's regional elections in Venezuela.